Hi, I'm Frances Anderton and this is DNA. On today's programme, a tale of three changing waterfronts in Southern California.
It's pretty much going to be about the San Diego lifestyle and try and represent that physically.
You know, it's progress, nothing stays the same, and you know, you just, you know, you're ready for it, but not, you know.
It's very hard nowadays to find places that are as cozy and as historic as Seaport Village.
You know, high tide raises all the boats, so development raises the tide considerably for all the businesses down here, and I think it's going to be great.
We've been hearing a lot about our redeveloping downtowns. What about our beaches? Developers have big plans to make over older seafronts in San Pedro, San Diego, and Santa Barbara. Old world style fishing villages are out. In are coming designers Bianca Ingles, James Corner, and bigger commercial attractions. How will they affect the character and life of these coastal destinations? And how do they relate to the water? We'll hear about Altasea. Joining me now is DNA producer Avishai Artsy. He's been spending time in San Pedro. Hello, Avishai.
Hey, Frances.
So what were you doing there?
Well, I was visiting a place called Portsacall Village, which is part of the Port of Los Angeles complex, which is the largest working port in the nation. Portsacall Village is a New England-style seaside village. It's been open since 1963. It's got kind of very quaint feel, you know, cobblestone streets. You can tour some of the souvenir and gift shops, eat at restaurants, or you can just sit and watch the massive tankers and barges drift by, which I've heard described as the industrial theater of the area.
For sure, for sure. Well, this all sounds like a very pleasurable afternoon, Avishai. So what were you doing there?
Well, I wanted to see how Portsacall Village is about to change. There's a huge transformation that's about to take place there. The LA Board of Harbor Commissioners in 2013 called for the redevelopment of the 30 acres of waterfront that includes Portsacall Village. So then in March of 2016, the board approved a 50-year lease for an expansion of Portsacall Village. They're styling it after the very popular and successful Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. It's called San Pedro Public Market, and it's supposed to open in 2020.
And what makes it different from Portsacall, apart from, I guess, revamping the area?
There's 150,000 square feet of restaurants and shopping. There'll be office space. The Port of LA is putting in a 30-foot-wide waterfront promenade that's half a mile long. There'll be a playground, lots of park space, an open-air 500-seat amphitheater for live entertainment. The total cost for the project is going to be $152 million. So $100 million of that is going to come from the developers. And then the Port of LA is going to spend $52 million on improving the infrastructure. Here's Mike Galvin. He's the director of waterfront and commercial real estate at the Port of Los Angeles.
It's really the intent of the port generally is to make our waterfront accessible to the public. That is part of the trust that we own the land through the state of California from. Is part of the mission there is to make the waterfront accessible to the public, and we view through this development we will really do that on a very large scale by creating this half a mile promenade down the main channel of the Port of Los Angeles.
The developers, LA Waterfront Alliance, and that includes two partners. There's the Ratkovich Company, who's a well-known developer in the region, and then the San Pedro-based Jericho Development. So I went down to the San Pedro Fish Market and met with Eric Johnson. He's principal at Jericho Development, and he showed me some renderings on his laptop of the public market, and it shows a much more industrial scheme with a lot of steel and glass.
Yeah, these are engineered steel buildings, like a Butler building. It's the most cost-effective way to build industrial and warehouse space. We played around in prior iterations with kind of trying to look, you know, something other than a modern industrial development, and we just decided the things that fit and are right are things that are built for the time that they're built in. You know, Disney is better at faking old than anybody else, but you still know it's not new. It's not real, right?
But this is a big departure from what we have now, which is more like quaint New England fishing village or something.
Right, it was Portsacall Restaurant was originally Polynesian themed, then they built the village, which was more sort of California, early California, then the next phase, most of which actually been torn down, was Whaler's Wharf, which was a New England fishing village. For us, actually New England fishing village never made sense to me. We have our own marine culture here, maritime culture, and so we're trying essentially to celebrate California for what it is.
There's also a landscape component to this. They've brought on James Corner Field Operations to do the landscape architecture. They're known, of course, for the High Line in New York, Tongva Park in Santa Monica, Navy Pier in Chicago. And they had kind of an interesting concept. They took the rectangular shape of the storage container, they fanned the shape out into these abstracted shapes, and you see those repeated throughout the park space. So it gives kind of a unifying theme to the whole area.
So is this real, this project?
They say it is real, and they point to the fact that construction has actually already begun. They're widening the street that leads into the area. Now, the next phase requires that they clear out the area, and this is where things get a little sticky. They've told the owners of 15 shops at Ports of Call that they need to move out by early October. The shopkeepers have been on a month-to-month lease for years and years now, but still they're not happy about having to leave. They packed a recent meeting of the LA Board of Harbor Commissioners saying they haven't been given enough notice to vacate. I went down there and met with several of them, including Gloria Larajone. She and her husband Victor moved to Ports of Call in 2004, and they own four shops in the village.
We, the tenants, are having an issue with the developers and the Port of LA. They all said that we were going to have a facility built for us in the same area before they were going to tear any building down. And also, they also said that we were going to be the last ones to be out of the village. And now everything has changed because now we are the first ones to go. And it is not a good situation. This is how I make my living. This is how I pay for my bills. This is my bread and butter.
So that's Gloria Larajone. She's become somewhat of a ringleader for these shopkeepers. Another one that I spoke with is Virginia Pavkovich. She owns Mexi Latin Gifts, and her husband and business partner died last year.
I started here in 1963. I have like over 50 years in this place. I will be willing to come back if they give me a chance, no matter what the rent will be. This is like my second home. My roots here are very deep. And it's hurting me. It seemed like all the rest of the tenants were very hurt because we feel that they are just chasing us away, taking us out of business. And I hope they can realize what they're doing and let us stay during the construction.
The developers and the port, they say the shop owners were given ample notice. Here's what Eric Johnson with Jericho Development said.
We're going to invite the existing tenants to apply into the new development. It'll be a competitive process, but they'll be some of the first people we call, and we hope to have them back. This is going to be very much local and regional dominated tenants here. We're not looking for national chains. We're looking for things that you can't get other places. It'll be dictated by what can fit within the first phase of development.
I met the owner of the San Pedro Fish Market. He's a third generation owner. His grandfather started it. And his name is Mike Ungaro, and he's a supporter of the plan.
We know there's a lot of potential. I mean, we've been able to tap into that potential for 60 years. Other businesses down here haven't been so fortunate, so I think they've been in need of help more than we have been. What we're looking forward to, because you know, it's like no pun intended, but you know, high tide raises all the boats. So development raises the tide considerably for all the businesses down here, and I think it's going to be great once all done.
What about San Pedro residents? How do they feel about all of this?
Well, the reaction's been a little bit mixed. Some people are excited about the changes. They think the village is seedy and run down and needs to be redeveloped. There's also sort of a skeptical, I'll believe it when I see it attitude from some residents, since this renovation has been talked about for 20 years now. There's also a sense of nostalgia from people who grew up coming to Ports of Call Village, maybe working there during the summers. There are concerns that the public market won't be for them. When you go to San Pedro Fish Market, you'll see mostly working class immigrant families who may not like the spruced up Newport. But officials say this is what the area needs. I talked to City Councilman Joe Buscaino. He represents the 15th District. He has deep roots here, growing up in San Pedro. He's a police officer, spent 8 years on the beat there. He was also a teen cook at the San Pedro Fish Market, and his dad was a commercial fisherman. So he says this is a long overdue development that will create jobs and reduce crime.
Well, I feel that it hasn't been a priority, my predecessors. As a police officer, I've seen poverty. I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen the despicable choices poverty puts on people. As we're moving forward on the development efforts, that we need to diversify the workforce, bring in hospitality jobs. And other parts of the country, if you look at Baltimore, if you look at San Francisco, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Seattle, those waterfronts are thriving. And the reason why those waterfronts are thriving is because they have downtowns that are built into those waterfront. And we we're leading with a sense of urgency in this transformation effort, and it's full speed ahead and pedal to the metal, and we're not stopping.
Is the goal behind this development to really become a region-wide destination?
That's what they say. Joe Buscaino says things like, you know, we're sick and tired in San Pedro of having to go up north to the rest of Los Angeles to spend our money. We want people to come here. And, you know, this is an image problem that San Pedro has been trying to address for the last few years now. 5 years ago, you had Battleship USS Iowa opening as a museum. You had Crafted at the Port of LA, which is a huge arts marketplace, opening that same summer. The guy behind that, Wayne Blank, is also the guy who created Bergamot Station in Santa Monica. And then last year, you had a craft brewery opening there. So this is all part of a $1.2 billion master plan to turn the port into a coastal destination, like you said.
You know, on hearing about, you know, a Bergamot Station type place going in, a craft brewery going in, of course, that raises the specter of gentrification and the loss of kind of existing character in San Pedro. Was that something you brought up with folks there, and what was the answer?
Well, yeah, for example, when I spoke to Councilman Buscaino, he doesn't really like the word gentrification. I mean, he sees it as an improvement of the area, and having been a cop for many years, he's seen drugs and gangs and prostitution in San Pedro, and he would like the area to improve. And what that would take would be increasing housing, increasing jobs, and bringing visitors into the area. And that's, I think, what this waterfront development hopes to achieve.
Avishai Artsy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frances.
Avishai Artsy is DNA's producer. I'm Frances Anderton. You just heard about San Pedro. Will a redevelopment with craft breweries and international designers like James Corner improve the area or dilute its character? Or both? Those are questions facing San Diego's waterfront as well. We turn to Paulina Velasco. She reports from Seaport Village.
I don't think there's a better site, I'd say, in the world than what we're dealing with right here.
Here is Seaport Village, and I'm sitting at the Fish Market, a restaurant, with Yehudi Gaffin, a San Diego developer. We're looking at this stretch of the San Diego Harbor with grassy seaside parks dotted with low trees, a mix of quaint New England-style cottages that house souvenir shops, and a cobblestone Spanish colonial-themed food court. It's only 37 years old, but it has an old-world charm. Gaffin, however, plans to sweep this all away and replace it with $1.2 billion worth of hotels, an aquarium designed by hotshot architect Bjarke Ingels, offices, also boutiques, restaurants, a public beach, all in a very different style from the current Seaport Village.
It's pretty much going to be about the San Diego lifestyle and try and represent that physically in terms of the buildings, the public space, the places, the focus on health and wellness, the outdoors, our weather, etc. So it's going to be creating a there that isn't there right now.
Well, technically, there is a there right now. I used to go to Seaport Village a lot when I was a kid. I went back there with my brother and sister recently. It had been a few years.
I don't know. I feel like we would just like push Bao in her stroller and I'd be rollerblading along. And then we'd go on the carousel a couple times and eat somewhere. That's about it. Maybe go to the toy store once just to look.
Maybe fly a kite over there.
I don't remember ever flying kites. Do you remember flying kites?
You have to get it.
Yeah.
Really?
We visit the wooden toy store where my sister says she got a slingshot that she used to shoot at me. We sat along the promenade, watching the steady flow of people, kids on bikes, and parents pushing strollers. There are the usual performers, the balloon guy.
Do you know what we're making today, by the way, princess?
There's a guy doing magic tricks, and there's the rock man, a guy that balances pointy rocks one on top of the other.
See the rock? Mm-hmm. You find the center. See the center?
I ask the rock man what he thinks about the planned renovations.
There's a lot of people coming already. If they change, if they make a big tower, big building, the beauty, lots of beauty of Seaport Village.
He's not alone in his concerns. Lots of locals and tourists visit the village's quirky little shops and restaurants.
If they make it more beautiful, it's okay. I didn't know they were doing it. Is everything going to get more expensive? I mean, that's one of the things with renovation. Like,
no, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. You don't have to do anything to it.
That was Glenn and Gloria. They say they visit Seaport Village every time they come to San Diego. So, if people like the place so much, why is it being redeveloped? The San Diego Unified Port District wants to modernize the seaport, bring in more visitors, and connect it to the ever more bustling city by extending some of the downtown streets into the new Seaport Village. The architect, or as he describes himself, urban conceptualist, is Frank Walden of a company called Skyport. Like the developers, he's a longtime San Diego resident and feels differently about Seaport Village. He recalls when it was first built.
All of the architects and planners hated it because they thought it was a little contrived village on the waterfront that was not a part of an urban scene that was created, that was part of how it connected to the bigger city. And it was these, you know, like looked like a little New England fishing village and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But Seaport Village has become beloved. Lila Abed also grew up in San Diego. Her mother owns an independent bookstore called Upstart Crow. It's at the edge of the village, past a wooden bridge that spans a duck pond.
It's very hard nowadays to find places that are as cozy and as historic as Seaport Village. And so I think that a lot of us are, you know, are a little bit sad about the new development, but, you know, that's modernity for you. Yeah.
The bookstore has a coffee shop, live music and readings. Abed runs a vegan food stand in front of the store. She and some of the other shop owners mobilized against the redevelopment last year. They created a group called Save Seaport Village with the slogan, "It will take a village to save our village." But Brotea Waterfront Development campaigned to win them over. Yehudi Gaffin says that when the Port District approved Protea's project last year, they saw an outpouring of support.
Downtown residents, fishermen, Seaport Village tenants, people involved in blue tech, you know, aquaculture. So it was a really broad cross-section of the community.
It seems like the shop owners are in a state of limbo. The port did not renew the lease for the current managing company of Seaport Village, and Protea Waterfront Development hopes to take over the lease and start redevelopment. Back to Lila Abed, whose mother runs the bookstore.
And so we were going to close, and we had like an outpour from all of our customers that it couldn't close because, again, it's like a historic bookstore, and a lot of the stores here in Seaport Village are. We're going to be open at least till September of 2018, but after that, it's kind of unsure what is going to happen, you know.
But the proposed redevelopment isn't a sure thing yet. It turns out Mother Nature might stall the project. An earthquake fault was discovered underneath Seaport Village that might prompt an entire redesign of the project. That would happen only if the fault is young enough to be considered active, says Gaffin. By young, he means less than 11,000 years old. For DNA, I'm Paulina Velasco in San Diego.
I'm Frances Anderton, and this is DNA. Coming up after this break, is it goodbye to the funk zone in Santa Barbara? And can you mix ocean research and commerce at San Pedro's Alta Sea? Back with DNA, I'm Frances Anderton. We are talking about Southland cities that are seeing big changes to their waterfronts. Earlier, you heard about San Pedro and San Diego. Now let's go north to Santa Barbara. KCRW's Catherine Barnes reports.
James O'Mahony used to have one of the best views in town. For 33 years, he owned a bohemian surf museum in what's known as Santa Barbara's Funk Zone.
It's just a matter of time when we get, you know, steamrolled out of here.
I spoke to O'Mahony in the spring, when the building was surrounded by cement pumps and construction trucks. Now a development called La Entrada is going in next door. It's a 250,000 square foot project that'll include a swanky hotel with rooms for $500 a night, a rooftop pool, an upscale restaurant, parking garage, and more. The Funk Zone used to be a real estate wasteland. It was full of grain mills and fish packing houses. Then in the 1970s, artists started renovating these cheap industrial spaces into funky apartments and studio workplaces. Sheila Lodge was the city's mayor during part of that time.
It was a different atmosphere. You walk around, you know, and you poke your head into these places and talk to people, and they were working there and so on. And there wasn't any wine to sample, but you could see people making things, you know.
About 20 years ago, those artists started getting priced out. Rents went up, wine tasting rooms moved in, so did breweries, high-end bars, and restaurants. Tourists from L.A. started coming up for bachelorette parties. Just like the Arts District in L.A., the Funk Zone became unaffordable for artists and craftspeople. Now less than 5 artists live in the area. You're more likely to stumble across a tiki bar or an upscale hostel than an artist's workspace. O'Mahony shut the doors of the Santa Barbara Surf Museum in March.
This building is the Funk Zone. This is the original bastion of it, and it's when this is gone, that's it. You know, it's progress. Nothing stays the same, and, you know, you just, you know, you're ready for it, but not, you know.
To him, all this development downtown will put an end to what made the Funk Zone funky. But not everyone feels that way. Carlos Lopez is the managing director of the Hotel Californian, the new hotel coming in.
Yes, perhaps there was a temporary hiccup, but we're going to bring about 70,000 guests to the area, both in the restaurants and the hotel, and they're going to be patronizing our local tenants and buying their products, their surfboards, their fishing gear. So I think that's a plus.
But most of the craftspeople who are still around, some surfboard makers and painters, are looking at real estate elsewhere. Jason Feist owns J7 Surfboards, which sits right next to the now defunct Surf Museum and the Hotel Californian. He's looking for more affordable places to rent on Santa Barbara's east side.
We're just watching closely. We've got our thumb on the pulse, see what's going to happen here. Just trying to survive.
So what will Santa Barbara's waterfront look like once all this construction and development is complete? Will it start to resemble Santa Monica's main shopping thoroughfare, 3rd Street Promenade? Will it echo plans for San Diego's Seaport Village or San Pedro Public Market? Feist worries it may bring tourists in, but push locals and the local character out.
When we talk to folks visiting Santa Barbara, and you know they have their Funk Zone map out, and they're walking around kind of trying to figure it out, and they'll come in and they'll say, hey, you know, what's down here? What makes us the Funk Zone? You know, where's all the art and everything? You know, and I think that that's a big thing that's changed. It's sort of lost a little bit of what was special about it.
For DNA, I'm Catherine Barnes.
I'm Frances Anderton. You're listening to DNA. The changes that are taking place along these waterfronts are raising the same question of the push and pull between the past and future. Lee Wen is an architect who grew up in Santa Barbara, and he says that relative to other coastal areas, the Southland is developing carefully.
I can say from growing up in Santa Barbara, there was always resistance there about building anything. Change is inevitable, and I think it just comes down to how we want to change. You know, for all the sort of tug of war that goes on, I think, between various factions, whether it's, you know, the Coastal Commission, you know, private enterprise, you know, the public who believes we should have public access to the beach. As messy as that is, I think California is still a pretty fantastic place in terms of how one accesses the ocean. I mean, it's not something that really happens anywhere else. Either there's like, I don't know, you got Condo Row in Miami, but most towns build themselves right up to the ocean. And I think California has been very deliberate about trying to make sure that there are pockets and areas where that doesn't happen.
That's Lee Wen, design principal at Gensler. We invited him to join us because he's overseeing the design of a very novel institution called Altasea. This is a 35-acre campus being built in converted warehouses on a century-old wharf at the Port of LA in San Pedro. Its goal is to bring under one roof a lot of activities, an academic consortium devoted to marine research and education, also workforce development, tourism and commerce, all around issues of ocean-related food, energy, and climate security. A possible partner is Boeing, and a close neighbor is SpaceX. DNA producer Avishai Artsy visited the site with Altice's executive director, Jenny Crusoe.
We're starting with an existing warehouse, which is 180,000 square feet, which is really big. And it's where we're putting our sustainable aquaculture cluster and our blue technology cluster. So this building is unique because it's one of the only ones that are existing, and the Gensler architects go nuts over this because it's an existing trade and transit warehouse that still has all the neoclassic detailing of a concrete structure, as you can kind of see before in front of you. So we're walking in to Catalina Sea Ranch, which is our major partner in sustainable aquaculture. So sustainable aquaculture is super important because 47% of the world relies on the ocean for protein, and we've overfished by 90%. So we must start farming food. So Catalina Sea Ranch has an aqua farm 6 miles off of San Pedro. We do their research, development, and education here. So now we're moving into where the Blue Economy Incubator will be. Our partners here are the LA Cleantech Incubator and Braid Theory. What you're seeing, if it wasn't radio, is that we have buildings within buildings, offices and laboratories and classrooms made out of containers. And so a mobile building will come in, and that will be Braid Theory. So you can see how we have 4,100 linear feet access to water. And the reason why Dr. Ballard, who has chosen Altice to be a specific coast home, wants to be here is the water is smooth, and we're so close to deep water because we're right next to the breakwater, so it protects all the vessels. Bob Ballard was the man who found the Titanic. He's kind of the Indiana Jones of the ocean. He has more energy than anyone I've ever met. We're all working together to create this innovation district. It's critical to this community. When you think about all the industries that have left, there's no shipbuilding here. The fishing industry is gone. The canneries are gone. The containerization, the workforce needed for, is almost all automated. So it's terribly important to this community, to all the LA waterfront communities, that these projects are successful and that we engage new industries in the port.
That's Altice's executive director, Jenny Crusoe. Back to Li Wen, principal at Gensler. Design-wise, Altice promises to have an interesting new building designed by Gensler, as well as the converted warehouses. But he says it also offers a different model for oceanfront development.
I think it's trying to create a more comprehensive engagement with the ocean. And it's about how we can actually understand it better, how we can actually live with it better, how we can actually see it as part of our future in terms of generating food and other sorts of resources, but also how we should also probably leave it alone in some ways as well. And we're in the conceptual stages, but it really is about sort of regenerating an existing environment for a future purpose, since its original purpose has obviously been superseded. So instead of building more, you're actually transforming what's already there into something, a new purpose that the community can then embrace because it actually understands the legacy of where it came from.
That was Li Wen, principal at Gensler. I'm Frances Anderton. That's it for today's DNA. Avishai Artsy is the show's producer. JC Swatek mixed this episode. Special thanks to Jason Groman. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for The World coming up next.